Here's part two of the July 2007 Jimmy Don't podcast.
Who are these guys?
Who are you? Who are
you? Yeah, right.
You weren't even born when this was made. I was. I remember this.
Cool.
I did notice one thing. We're back, by the way. So it's part two of the end of July Jimmy Don't show.
Well, that's
whatever
the bugs.
Yeah, that's right. The bugs. That's right. The roaches. That's right. Roaches with horns, whatever.
The silver beetle.
So EJ's still here. We haven't got Jack Rhodes has not showed up yet, so I don't know about that. And Councilor Curtis.
EJ is still here.
That's right. No. And Councilor Curtis and Engineer Eric.
Mm-hmm. Right here.
And Jimmy Don't. Okay. Now I did. As Jimmy, by the way, is going to start Medicare this month. And
no way, man.
Yeah, it's true. But I've been getting all taken care of. My mailbox is full of everybody and their brother trying to get me to sign up with them. But I did pull out this one thing that really is interesting. I didn't realize this. Erectile dysfunction is routinely covered by Medicare. However, not the pills. It's the pump.
Oh.
They have a new pump, and they want. I don't know. It says non-invasive, no side effects. But I don't see a free. I'd like to get a free sample, maybe. I don't. That's
free. I don't think it works like that.
No, it doesn't. But if you look at this thing, if you look at this pump thing, I would say erectile dysfunction is routinely covered by Medicare. But if you look at this thing, it's not the guys that are going to be ordering this. It's the gals.
The women who...
Yeah, it's the women. They could use that anyway. So I kept this out of the... I get... You know how you get in the mail, you get those value coupons or whatever, like 20 or 30 or 40. Well, I'm getting them now for... canes that do other things and wheelchairs, batteries and hearing aids and all this stuff. And, I mean, just, you know, it's phenomenal, the stuff I get.
Thanks for the reminder.
Yeah, thanks for the reminder, right, just what I need to hear. Well, I've always said that 65 is the new 64, so I'm not worried about it. Anyway, so I kept this one out, though. I probably have to write them a letter. Anyway, let's move along. I want to talk about the butt slappers.
Okay.
Now, this is phenomenal. This is beyond belief.
Doesn't shock me, man.
It doesn't.
No.
This is where the 13-year-old kids, two of them, were in some middle school in wherever it was. It doesn't really matter.
Middle school or high school?
Middle school.
Okay.
Patton Middle School in McMinnville, Oregon. They're 13 years old, so it's middle school. It's like sixth grade. I think that's 13.
If you're... You're young.
It's six or seven.
Old.
No, seventh grade. Six or
right
seven.
Right about there.
Yeah. Anyway, what they did is they patted some girls on the butt and right. were caught doing it, and they were hauled into the principal's office with a policeman.
Right.
And apparently questioned for several hours.
Right.
And then hauled off to jail in cuffs.
That's the part that...
Well, what about... No. There's two things right off the bat. First of all, don't minors have to have their parents there under questioning?
Supposed to.
Yeah, number one.
And by the police, not by the principal.
Right, but the policeman was there, though.
Well, he hauled him off. That's just, he's law and order. Cops are on.
I know, but I'm saying that but I think that with questioning, you're supposed to have your parents there, number one. And so there's 4 or 5 hours, no parents. But the other thing is, what I want to know is, I suppose in some communities, in some ethnic groups, the butt is a sexual organ. But I'm wondering why they call patting somebody on the ass a sexual act, except, well, I'm not saying it's not. But it depends what you do with the ass, I suppose, makes it a sexual act. But patting it, I didn't think was one of the things would be sexual.
No, that's all bad. That's all bad.
Well, I mean, how about if you pat somebody on the thigh or on the back or something? I mean...
That's the butt.
That's the butt.
It's
okay.
Close to the butt. Yeah,
anyway, the local DA, totally, obviously, knifeong worshiper,
yeah.
has charged five felonies
right.
to start off with. The kids came in for arraignment whenever they did. They were held in detention for juvenile detention for five days.
Right.
In court, they were in shackles and in prison jumpsuits.
Routine.
Right, I know. 13 years old. Okay.
I've seen them all the way down. All the way down. 6 years old in cuffs, all shackled against the wall.
Well, I mean, 6 years old, they're going to... Okay, good. And then, so, the felony charges were dropped. They pleaded not guilty, of course. Felony charges were dropped, but he instituted 10 misdemeanor charges instead.
Right.
Well,
because he's giving him a break. Because he's compassionate.
He's compassionate, right. They have an August 20th trial, which is in a couple of, 3 or 4 weeks from now. And for some jail time. And they apparently, if they lose a trial, they'll have to register as sex offenders for the rest of their life. In other words,
right.
30, 40, 50 years from now.
Right.
If they want to go to Canada or something like that, swipe their card, it'll say, oh, that's right, shoot them. Here's people that patted these girls on the... The girls,
they're obviously pedophiles.
But they're PEDs themselves. I mean, wait a minute. They're PEDs themselves. Yeah, so yeah. I don't. They might be pediophobes as well. I mean, so probably. They're probably with themselves. You know, a little onerism there, whatever they call it. One-ism, or what do you call it?
Onerism. Yeah, but by the time they get out of the system, oh, they'll be totally hardened.
Corey and Ryan were brought to the principal's office February 22nd, where they were questioned by school officers, officials, and a police officer. They were arrested that day and taken in handcuffs to a juvenile detention facility. They've been released on probation. The judge said, but they have to be under constant adult supervision.
I love the part about where the one child is not allowed to have contact with his younger siblings.
Yeah, not allowed to have contact with any children.
Right.
Which of course obviously includes his brothers and sisters, whatever younger.
That's totally standard.
Totally standard. It says the appropriate sentence would be probation. These are minor misdemeanor charges that reflect repeated contact against multiple victims. And apparently the victims recanted and said, no.
Some of them did.
Well, whatever. But I mean, you know, we're talking about 13-year-olds. Give me a break. We never intended for them to get a long time in detention.
That's the prosecutor talking. And so then why'd you prosecute them that way? Why'd you charge them with 5 felonies if you didn't expect them? They said, oh, we just wanted a change of behavior.
Well, Barry, the district attorney says, well, there's no way the boys would ever serve that much time. They face 10 years in jail and so forth if convicted and done the max. We don't expect them to serve that much time.
We don't expect it.
Yeah, we don't expect
it. It could happen.
Let me tell you how it would happen. We're seeking a change in conduct.
Right. Let me tell you how it would happen. Let's say the kid takes probation, and then the kid violates probation by, let's say, letting his grades slip. Because the judge can order him to get good grades. I've seen that happen. Or not taking his meds, which a judge could order as well.
And we're going to talk about that.
So he violates probation, and then they revoke the probation and send him to some sort of facility. And he could easily get years. But the worst thing is, of course, the sexual registration stuff. I mean, everywhere that everywhere. I try to apply for college as a sexual offender because you slap somebody on the butt. They'll be writing essays about this. To try to get themselves out of whatever presumptive trouble they're getting into for the rest of their lives anyway. No matter what the outcome of this case, these guys have got 100 essays. They might as well just write a template out right now and keep writing on it.
Yeah, that's
Avery sells that template already.
Sexual predator. Yes, right. Go on, Google it up. And
The
Jimmy Doan template. For saying, that's right. We should actually do a little. Right. We could charge $10 a piece for them. And put your name on
your
it.
Copy.
But I love Corey. One of the kids says he now realizes what he did was inappropriate. Well, bullshit.
Well, you know, inappropriate's one thing. Illegal is something else. I mean, so, you know, the parents want to punish him. You take away his cell phone. The school suspends him for a day. Whatever it is, that's all administrative, all handleable stuff. But to throw these kids in jail and
it's criminalizing pre-adolescent behavior. I mean, I can tell you for a fact that. There would be no Jimmy Doan show if even close to this was the case. I mean, I would still be in jail with the keys thrown away forever.
Erase, edit. There's no statute of limitations on this stuff anymore.
You're kidding.
No, they've taken the statute of limitations out slowly on this type of activity.
Yeah, but everybody that Jimmy hit on is already dead.
Well, thank you so much for that. It's not because he did it, I can tell you.
No.
Was that the implication?
No, of course not.
They already killed them.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, no, they killed themselves. When they thought back about it, I didn't do it. Oh, God, I'm done. And they jumped off. They jumped off the building, so.
Well, you know, they were... after they stopped teaching at those schools, you know. Then
No, I mean, let me tell you something. I went to a private boys' school for a while, and I can tell you that. Okay, got nothing on the priests and Catholics.
It's hideous, and they're going down.
They're not going down. They
are,
can't.
And I'll tell you why. Because the parents aren't taking the deal. The prosecutors made them a deal that said. Your kids will not have to register as sex offenders. We'll charge them with something else, and then they won't have to register. They get convicted. They go on probation.
But they're on probation.
Right. And the parents said, you know what? This is kid stuff, and we're not taking a punishment through the criminal court for this. And unless their lawyer talks some sense into them, they're going to go to trial and lose.
Really? Well, yeah. Jimmy will follow up on this, because apparently the trial date set for August 20th, so maybe the show after that weekend.
If they go to trial, they will lose.
How about jury nullification?
No jury on juvenile trial, at least down here in Florida.
I think that they said it's going to be a jury trial.
Well, that's different from Florida. In Florida, you have a judge trial. If that's the case,
judge nullification.
Yeah, well, good luck.
The judge will nullify himself.
Yeah, that's what they always do.
Yeah, right.
I rule against me, and all of my rulings are null.
Yeah.
No, they don't do that. And if they get a jury, then I could see, yeah, okay, they got a decent lawyer, jury nullification. Okay.
Oh, they don't call it that, of course. They're not allowed to call it that.
They just say,
but like you say, so what you're saying is, yeah, and of course the judge is going to say, I have no choice in this, right?
Right, absolutely.
And so, but I mean, the lawyer, certainly if there is not a jury trial, the lawyer would explain that to these people. I mean, there's no way.
That's what I would say. I'd say, look... this is a great concept, and love to help you out here, but if you go, this is going to happen. So I'm just going to go ahead and put on the record before we start that I advise you not to go to trial so that after we lose, you can't come back and say it was my fault.
And by the way, could I get my money up front?
Exactly.
Yeah, you can pay me now because...
100%, no question.
I would think that if a person were to take the deal... I mean, probably the first thing I would do is move out of town, too.
Oh,
I'd be taking a vacation for a year during the probation period or whatever it is.
Yeah, if there's a way to do that, you're gone.
Yeah. Of course, probation usually means you have to report every 30 days or something like that.
Yeah, there's some ways you can get it so that you can report by mail and stuff like that.
That's true. I mean, you'd think 13,
It's petty. It's petty BS, but that's what they've gotten into at this point.
I'm telling you,
the laws have expanded so much and the crackdown has come so hard.
The crackdown, I love that.
I've seen kids... prosecuted for the stupidest things. I mean, like one kid threw a penny at another kid. And that kid spent 20-something days in juvenile detention before the parents... what happened was the parents didn't show up on day two when the kid came in front of the court. And the court inferred from the parents' non-appearance... What it was is the parents were mortified that their child was in jail. They were... Indian descent, mm-hmm. and they were just stunned and shocked and disgraced that their child was
disgraced,
in custody.
Right? Yeah, right.
So they didn't show up, and so the judge inferred that the parents didn't care,
right?
So he just left them in juvie, for 20-something days.
Oh my God!
The kid that I defended was a straight A student. He was literally like an extremely bright kid. I remember talking to him, and he was 8 or something, but he was totally articulate. He understood the whole situation. And I just had to tell him, look, sorry, you've been caught by the U.S.
Welcome to America.
Exactly.
Yeah, welcome to America. That is phenomenal. I mean, it shows you as you devolve into a police state, they got nothing else to do, I guess, nothing better to do with their time. I mean, they really should be doing something else, obviously. But if you've got time to go and arrest an 8-year-old for whatever that is.
The big one now is disturbance of a school function. That's what they get the kids for these days. Disturbance of a school function gets you a misdemeanor, and that gets you your probation right there. And it can be literally anything. You scream at a pep rally or something. Yeah, you do the fart sound under your elbow or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever it is, you can be disturbance of a school function.
I would still be in jail if those laws applied.
No, absolutely. All of us here would be.
Yeah.
And Engineer Eric would still be in jail, too. You put a dent in my forehead from that penny you threw at me 20 years ago, you bum. And there's still a scar right in the dink. You'd still be in jail.
It was a lucky shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, lucky or unlucky as
lucky
the case.
Lucky me, yeah.
No, I'm telling you, this is... And then you have to ask yourself, what are the kids learning from this? What is the lesson that the kid learns? I mean, this is not... This is antisocial... The whole thing is antisocial, not the butt slapping, which is social behavior.
Well, the kid will have to go through. The kid will learn a lot in his counseling.
Yeah.
Oh, he'll learn more in jail.
It'll be like Nurse Ratchet, or something like that. The counseling is going to be something out of.
He's going to have to. Where did you get that sound? He's going to have to confess.
He's going to have to confess. Yeah, exactly. Maybe they'll do the float sink routine.
Right.
She's a witch. Yeah, I mean that'll be it. That's the way I'll figure it. Guilty. If we're gonna try you in the float sink routine here. This is great. Well, anyway, let me go on talking about more kids. The big news here. This is in today's paper, I think. Here's the headline from the Associated Press: Antipsychotic use soars in Florida kids. One of the things they do in kids in order to keep them down on the farm is they drug the crap out of them.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, you know, the number of Florida children taking powerful antipsychotic drugs has increased about 250% in the last 7 years, despite concerns about the long-term effects on children and, of course, the cost to taxpayers.
And by the way, that's a 12-year-old on right. some of those antipsychotics. Yeah,
that's right. In Florida, more than 18,000 children on Medicaid were given antipsychotic drugs last year, including 1,100 under the age of 6. The drug can be used on kids under 6 only in extreme cases, which, of course, everything's an extreme case.
Oh, right. Oh, absolutely.
The average cost to Medicare, which is us, you know, average cost to the taxpayer, whatever, for a child on atypical antipsychotics is $1,800. And the thing about this is, where are these drugs anyway? How come the kid 6 years old can get them and I can't? I don't understand this. I mean, not only would my doctor go to jail for prescribing me these drugs, but I would certainly go to jail if I had more than...
Jimmy, don't you know the place to get the good drugs is on the schoolyard?
Obviously at the kinder, at the elementary school is
they
where
you... They pass them out with lunch. They give you your pizza.
But I mean, they'd probably recognize me not as a kid when I walk through there, because there's some kind of disguise. Like, tall kid.
Right, well, what you do is you just pretend...
He's a little slow, that's all.
Yeah, you pretend you've been on the drugs for the last 20 years, and you never got out of elementary school.
The concerns are often outweighed by the risks of not treating violent outbursts. Kate Malloy's 10-year-old son, Ryan, suffered such severe outbursts that she sometimes wondered if he would jump out of a moving car. And so the doctor prescribed, you know, the... And I'm thinking... What's the problem here? Called the Darwinian, you know, culling of the herd thing. Let him jump.
Right. Well, look, this is anecdotal evidence to prove the rule here.
Right.
I mean, here they got the one case where the woman is worried. I mean, it never happened, but she's worried.
Right. She's worried that he might jump out because he's so...
So maybe she needs the drugs. If the kid is trying to jump out of a moving car to get away from her.
2 seconds. Well, they used to call... The song "Mother's Little Helper." What do you think that
is? Right.
You remember? Yeah. No, I mean "Mother's Little Helper." That's what that was. Was alcohol and drugs, and mostly drugs is what it was. I forget what the actual drug was that we used to use.
Wikipedia.
Yeah, I have to look for one at what "Mother's Little Helper" was, because I know Benny's were big, but those are the uppers. Benny and the Jets.
There Valium was another big one to come.
Valium. That was exactly what it was. It was Valium was Mother's Little Helper. I guaranteed. Valium was like aspirin in the 60s. I mean, you walk in any place. How many do you want? It was a prescription drug, but it was a joke. I mean, your dentist, your eye doctor would prescribe it. I mean, your toe massage person, whatever it is, pedicurist. I'm sorry, your pedicurist. Could I get? Yeah, fine. I'll write that up for you. You could write your own.
It's bizarre when you contrast it with the war on drugs.
Oh, it's no, that's right. I mean, again, what's the lesson here? The lesson is drugs are good.
Right. Well, absolutely, absolutely good. I like them.
Jimmy wishes he could like them.
I wouldn't be here if it weren't for drugs.
Every adult American, at least, should have the absolute right to input. All forms of input.
Yep.
And
it's like number five.
They need more input.
You need more input.
And ingestion.
Number five is alive.
Ingestion is just a form of input. You should be allowed to swallow whatever you want. It's your body.
It's funny, of course, the argument that comes right up on all of this stuff is, well, but what about the family? You know, the fact is, if you're dysfunctional, if you're laying, you know, passed out on the floor, this has an effect on the entire known universe, starting with your family and spreading out to the community and the state and that's the whole thing is that. Because you're passed
drugs.
Out on the floor, there's an effect on somebody in Portland, Oregon. But mostly it's your family that suffers, and we're going to stop your family from suffering because you've ingested something or passed out on the floor.
I quote Blutowski from Animal House. Bullshit!
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, I would call it a slippery slope, except that it gives a bad name to slippery slope. I mean, this is such a greased lightning slope. Yeah. It's like a cliff. It's so fast. This is called the
with
slippery.
Like a magnet at the bottom.
Yeah,
magnet.
Exactly.
Lead shoes.
No, it's where gravity. It's like the gravity pull of a black hole is how fast down you go that cliff.
So it's a luge made out of graviton.
Yeah, exactly. Graviton particles, and we have a singularity at the bottom.
There we go.
I rest our case.
Okay, according to Wikipedia, it was pentobarbital and...
Phenobarbital.
Phenobarbital and nembutal.
Nembutal, right.
Nembutal. That was the drugs that apparently, according... Of course, this isn't fact. This is Wikipedia, but, you know.
That's, I can tell you, I remember it was Valium. Okay. There was a lot of Valium. But those were also, Phenobarb was a big one, yeah, no question. I mean, it was no question about it.
Because they did too much Valium, and then they needed to...
Well, no, it's the other way around, I think. No, what happens is, as soon as you have some fun with one, they outlaw it, and then you have to move on. That's one of the reasons we have crack today. I mean, it used to be you could get, you know, low-grade cocaine and get a high, but they outlawed that. So, you know, now you... The same with marijuana. I mean, it used to be you'd fly it in a plane in a couple of bales or, you know, square grouper, whatever we used to have in the shores down here in Florida. Now you have to grow it in your basement someplace, and it's 10 times or 15 times the potency of the stuff that some friends of mine.
Where's Jack?
Yeah, right. Where's Jack? Right. probably budding.
As no.
You know, doing the, Jack. Done with that?
Well, as a parallel story, I want to talk quickly about the Tour de France.
Oh, okay, good. Yes.
I don't know if you saw this week, but the Tour de France exploded about a week ago.
Yeah.
And
what do you mean?
What I mean is they chucked out first the number one contender and his entire team.
Right.
Including, like, the number two contender.
Right.
And then just 2 days later, they chucked out the leader of the race. It really makes it uninteresting to watch. I mean, here's a 20-day race that culminates,
or as we say, 20 jours.
So so why did they check these people?
Suspected blood doping. The first guy they tested positive for blood doping, which is using somebody else's blood.
No, I think it's using your own.
Transfusion
with somebody else's.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you stored up your own to do that.
You can, but that's not the only way.
Yeah, I think they busted him getting somebody else.
So he was show up in a heartbeat.
He was in the all-drug Olympics? Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, he should be, yeah. Right. I mean, to me, what they should do is they should let you eat anything you want.
Right.
I mean, look, Wheaties is a performance-enhancing substance.
It is advertised as such.
Absolutely.
Breakfast of champions. Hello.
Done.
And Wheaties with cocaine is even more.
It's even more, yeah. It looks like sugar.
That's what it looks like.
It looks like a frosted flake.
Frosted flakes, a whole
that's
new meaning.
That's a whole new meaning. Hey, you want some crusty flakes?
Don't blame me. It tastes like shit, but boy, is it good.
With the jagged metal flake.
That's right.
And jagged metal O.
Look, you should let them take whatever they want, and then if you want to test them, fine. And then you put what they ingested right there
on the metal.
That's it. Whatever. So I had somebody else's blood and some, you know, fish paralyzer and whatever it is.
A few cocktails.
And I
also had a surgically sewn on two more legs.
Does that count? No. I had my feet replaced with hooves.
With bicicle pedals.
That's right. I didn't need all that extra weight.
Didn't need
the weight of all them toes and things. Right. Shit, no. Got rid of them.
Well, I was bred for this race anyway. It's not like I have a life off of the track.
And then if they're hard. Heart explodes, then you'll know not to use those drugs. I'm sure that it's far more dangerous for them to drive to the freaking site where they pedal than it is.
Well, I'll tell you, the pedaling was not too. Did you see that guy ran over the dog and got and splattered all over the place?
Yeah. And listen, they're going down these mountains with no guardrails.
60 miles an hour. And let me tell you, it ain't like they got knee pads. They got nothing.
No.
You fall down, you are scraped up. Well, the one guy was riding around stitches on three parts, four
50
parts.
50 stitches. Yeah. That was the guy that got the blood doping. It was probably the replacement blood from what he lost.
I wouldn't doubt. Of course, they're all suing. They're still, I think last year's winner is still suing to get his medal back.
They haven't, his case hasn't gone to trial. Floyd Landis.
Floyd Landis. Yeah, so, I mean, it's, like you say, let him have at it.
Let him go bananas. Look, people are trying to enhance their performance. That's the whole goal. You want them to try that stuff. To me, if they're going to take it, it's their own personal
risk.
Look,
you know, it's funny. They do the performance enhancement on the bike.
Right. They tweak the bike, and it's a totally different machine.
Oh, no, they try new stuff all the time. No, I mean, seriously, when you look at they had the advertisement for whoever the bike derailleur people and the other people, Blackstone or whoever it was that was making a lot of the pieces, and they showed how this, just in the last year, forget the last 10 to 15 years, how the technology has improved. And they said, well, this stuff will be in the commercial market in the next couple of years. But, you know, we're trying it out here under these circumstances. If it makes it through here, then it can make it in the commercial market because this is the most brutal you can imagine. I mean, you know, 2 weeks or whatever it is and so forth. So why not with the bodies?
Absolutely. We want to see what works. These people are going to try stuff they think is safe and that they think enhances
the performance. Yeah, it's a little bit like although we probably shouldn't talk too much about the airline pilots when we're talking about NASA pilots. Right? But the airline, you know, the nice thing about the airplanes is the pilot's there. I mean, he ain't going down. He's not going to blow the plane up. In other words,
he wants to save himself.
Right. So he will.
Screw the guy in the back. I don't want to live.
No, well, but so he'll say
one without the other.
That's right. And right. Same thing here.
Right.
Is that the guy wants to win the race? He doesn't want to die.
Right.
So you got to figure he's doing it for his own. It's not like he's giving drugs to his. He's not like he's doping his enemy here.
Right.
Which would that might be illegal.
Absolutely.
Actually, that's probably not illegal. It's illegal to take your own drug.
Yeah, that's right. No, I'm sure that.
Well, and the leader they chucked out on suspicion of it all. All they know is that you're supposed to file a log every month for wherever you're going to be.
Yeah.
This is how strict the doping regulations have got over there. They have to log every place they are going, and then they have to drug test wherever they are. And here's a guy who he said he was in Mexico the month before the Tour de France, and some reporter, former cyclist. Reported that they saw him in the Alps in Italy, and no trial, no nothing, chucked out of the Tour de France, kicked off the team.
Now, I don't have a problem in a way. Is the Tour de France is privately
run? It is private stuff. So, it's not government, whatever. I agree with you on that part. That he's not going to prison for this.
Yeah.
He didn't test positive for anything.
Yeah.
And if all the participants want to have a situation where it's heavily policed like that,
yeah,
then go ahead. But I don't think that's the way that it is. I think that most of the people would be just fine with people taking whatever that they want. It's just the mentality these days is that this type of enhancement is wrong or immoral in some way. It's
right.
Cheating and it's deadly. As I mean, to me, riding down the mountain at 60 miles an hour with no guardrail is deadly. And
yep.
and people have died doing that.
Yep.
And they've died from heat exhaustion and
yep.
from driving to the Alps where they will ride their bikes and from getting hit by cars on their bikes.
Did you see the chase cars, the ones that, you know, the team cars and everything? Like, do you see how close those guys go?
Man, it's right up next to
them. I mean, and I can tell you, you watch the Pantaloon or whatever they call it. You know, there's like 900 bikes in the Pantaloon.
The Peloton.
Peloton, whatever. And
we're feeling a bit tight.
Yeah, no, well, they're tights. Anyway, but I mean, if you see that, it looks like a little, it looks like a school of those fish that move.
Yeah, a school of bees.
A swarm of bees. Okay, that's
word.
Right. Yeah, that's right. No, but you know the fish, like in Finding Nemo, that all move in the same direction at the same time? What do they call those? The shoal. A shoal.
Yeah.
A shoal. That's what the Pantaloon looks like, a shoal. Pantalon. Templon. Templon. Partalon.
Templon.
Pantheon.
Templon.
Peloton.
Peloton. Okay. That.
The Templon.
Pedalathon. The Pedalathon. Huh? What?
Yeah, that's what they call it.
Well, look,
I've seen them all, dude.
Seen them all.
It just should be wide open, and then if you want to tell what people ate for breakfast or how late they slept or what performance enhances and how many legs they got sewn on, put a little asterisk there, and then...
He could look like the guy in Spider-Man 2, you know, maybe he could win, you know, the octopus guy, Octoman or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
But I just got pissed off because I couldn't, and now I couldn't see my top three favorite guys race. They're out.
Yeah, they sure are. Well, the winner, you do know the
Spanish.
Don't tell you now.
No.
Oh,
okay. I'm already pretty sure I know.
Okay. No, well, you know the last day you're not allowed to pass the guy anyway.
Right.
Okay, so they said, though, that there was a little tiny chance. I thought the same.
Right.
I thought that the chance of somebody other than the leader the next to the last day is the same as in our electoral college, somebody switching their vote.
Yeah, that's about right.
That's about the same. Okay, good.
Well, the only thing they can hope for is that he goes over the cliff.
Right, exactly. And of course, it's like a flat ride.
No,
the
last one.
Oh, that was they show, of course, in the previews on The Simpsons. They show him again leaping over the Grand Canyon. You know,
right.
I got to see that. That's tomorrow's Simpsons Day for me. Tuesday's free popcorn at the Regal Theaters.
Woo-hoo, we're seniors.
Shut up.
Oh.
No, it's if you have a Regal card, for God's sakes. Anybody gets one. Okay, moving on.
Yeah.
Choppers collide while covering pursuit. This is another legal item.
Nope.
You saw where the two news choppers were chasing. They were following this guy. Was that?
Yeah, there they are.
Oh.
Start out there.
Perfect. Excellent. Perfect. Excellent. That's exactly right. So anyway, but I wanted to ask engineer about this.
Guilty.
Guilty. Right. Well, they want to charge. They're thinking about charging.
Really?
The guy, remember now, it was a police chase on a felon, on a quote, on a guy who was a... Right.
You are kidding me.
No, they had been chasing this guy. They think he, you know, allegedly he robbed her, I don't know, beat up child, I don't know what the deal was.
They charge him with the deaths of the four people.
Exactly.
They're not sure yet.
But the man fleeing from police was later taken into custody. Police Chief Jack Harris suggested he could be charged in connection with the collision. I believe you will want to talk to investigators, but I think he will be held responsible for any of the deaths from this tragedy.
I agree. I think he's gonna be.
No way.
What was his original charge?
I don't know. He was fleeing. He had done something, but he was a bad person, apparently.
I think they've done that for police officers. That is to say, if it had been two police helicopters that collided, definitely he goes down for the deaths of those people.
Right. No, these are two news copters that went down. They were following the chase. And
it made great coverage for the other news choppers.
They had the photo. I mean, they had the photo of him going down, of course. And you know that guy made as much money as the Kennedy assassination thing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, selling that to, you know, the Legal Beagle, whatever it is, News Today, whatever. But my question, it says, I got a thing here from Hangar Dogs, and it says, bummer by any standards, but accidents do happen. Well, at least they did. Now somebody's always at fault. And then it says... Ask Gene.
That wasn't from the Angry Dogs. That was my response. Gene went wrecked a helicopter in his training.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just accidentally, you know. But
well, maybe he can blame that on somebody, you know. It's not his fault.
No, I mean, and then Gene was in another helicopter wreck, but he wasn't flying at this time not too long ago over in Russia. And, you know, a big helicopter went down.
Man.
Yeah. So he's bad news about helicopters.
Yeah, you know. Apparently, you don't want to get him. Don't want to get him near that. Okay.
Well, I've heard that you can tell a good helicopter pilot by whether or not they're alive.
You can tell most pilots that way,
right?
You know, as I always said, I can teach you almost everything there is to know about flying in the first 20 minutes. You'll spend the rest of the time learning how to land. It's only the last couple of feet that hurt. As long as you can stay up in the air forever, you don't have a problem.
Yep.
It's the earth part that is the problem.
It's not the fall, it's the sudden impact.
Yeah,
the sudden
exactly.
There are right. Old pilots and bold pilots, but no old bold pilots.
Yeah. So the question is this guy going to get charged? No.
Yes.
He is.
I think he will.
Counselor says yes.
It's going to be...
Listen, folks who are listening to this podcast, this is your second prediction now during this podcast, so we need to mark these down for...
So
I'm going out on a limb a little bit here, I'll say that, because it would be a new expansion of the law, but it would not surprise me at all. I'll tell you this, it's going to depend on how egregious his original charge was.
I think it was, as I recall, it was not a shabby, it wasn't like he was... Had,
if he was speeding away because
like
he had
somebody
suspended
on the
license or something...
No, then, I think it was. I think if they caught him coming out of a house with, you know, blood on him or something.
Well, you guys are all prepared today.
No. But okay, I defer to the counselor. If depending on how serious the crime is, okay. Yeah. But I still think he's going to jail anyway. So whatever. Next, I've got. This has to do with the government. We're going to move into wireless and wiretap stuff. Cirque du Soleil fights for radio frequencies. This is in Las Vegas. I thought this was interesting. The one of the big problems in Las Vegas has to do with communications among the various acts and actors and the stage people. They use wireless radios now. Used to be, well, Eric, you know about this. I mean, it used to be in the old days you would do hand signs or walk out on stage or do whatever it is in order to communicate with the various people, right?
As far as band members?
Band members and moving stuff around, stage hands. I mean, if you've got a big dance act, you know, how do you tell people where to go? The director.
Yeah, I typically throw a beer bottle at somebody.
I know that. That's why.
Band members.
I noticed that most of the places you played in back of chicken wire, right?
Absolutely.
Because, yeah, that's right. So we understand that. Well, this is a little, Cirque du Soleil is a step up from there.
Right.
And
I've seen Cirque du Soleil. It's actually pretty, well, I've seen one of them.
Apparently, they are, so where Cirque du Soleil is next to another one of the huge venues. I don't know, MGM's next to Caesar's Palace or whatever. I don't know which one it is.
So they get over the radio frequency, jump now, jump!
Yeah, exactly,
jump.
Right. Exactly. And, of course, this is all encrypted and who knows what.
Right.
Interestingly enough, so apparently they use hundreds of these independent frequencies so that each, because there's, you know, a cast of thousands, and you want to be able to have the director or one guy, one stagehand can only talk to another one and yada, yada, yada. So they have interference. And of course now they're also having interference with the venue next door that's running a, like you say, a different act. And you know, jump now, and the next
jump,
thing,
Pierre, jump.
That's right.
And jump now, and that safety net is not in place.
So they're having so. But I thought the thing that brought this article to my mind was for Duvall, actually, as for Wright as well. So we've come to think of the problem as political. He told me Thursday as he helped to do some stuff. His show and many others in Vegas are facing a potential shortage of radio frequencies due to the federal communications interest in auctioning blocks of spectrum to digital television networks. And as I've always said so many times, there is never a problem any place that government can't make infinitely worse. And here's a case of because the FCC is involved in the allocation of frequencies,
the FCC,
Bush lied, people die.
Yeah, they are one of the most worthless organizations.
I mean, you talk about hair on a fish or whatever, feathers on a fish. It's unbelievable. No, it's just, it is, I mean, they have full-time technicians and decrypto people in order to make sure that everybody's run up, and they have, I didn't realize it's Cirque du Soleil. They got 13 different shows and so forth. And anyway, so the ninjas say politics involved. I just thought this was interesting because of the FCC auctioning off all this stuff. I don't know if you know this, but like in less than a year, I think, analog TV is going to be illegal over your cable. I think it's all supposed to be HD. Is that right? I'm pretty sure you have to have an HD. And Congress, in its infinite wisdom, of course, for the poor people like Jimmy, you can get a $25 or $50 coupon from the taxpayers, from myself, to go get a
24-hour shopping channel.
No, to get the little box that you need to convert whatever it is. Everybody's supposed to get a box now to do a HD something. I don't know. To take a TV, I think all televisions in the last 4 or 5 years have to be HD compatible.
Again, preparation is king here at the Jimmy Dolan Show.
Okay, I'm done with that. Moving along. Obviously, I'm moving in. If you got something to say, I
make
forget.
It something to say, keep it to yourself.
Yeah, that's right. Bush, this is it. Government, the noose is tightening again. Bush calls for easier wiretap rules. There's so much in this article, in this short article. U.S.
Again?
U.S. President George W. Bush on Saturday called for Congress to revise U.S. security law in order to ease restrictions on the government's secret communications surveillance of terror suspects.
Terror suspects.
Yeah, aimed at people plotting attacks on the United States. Now, of course, my question is, if you know that they're planning an attack on the United States...
Well, that's exactly the type of logical reasoning that people need to apply. They don't have any clue. When they say terror suspect, what they mean is somebody what they mean is literally somebody whose phone line has connected with one of those states over there. No, hang up.
No. Wait, stop. Look out. Tracking.
It was busy.
Thank God. Seriously. No, the fact that we are pinged here from Saudi Arabia, I'm looking on our world map.
Yes.
I mean, that could put us in jeopardy.
That's the Jimmy Doan who looks at us website.
They can contribute to our encrypted blog.
Yes.
God, please. Lord DJ, erase all of this. We're going to be in Rattan before we know it. Seriously, though.
Or erase that, too. We're going to be in the R country.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Donetown.
Yeah. Donetown. That's right. A little tiny Donetown.
Donetown.
They have got to the point of where they can say stuff like terror suspects, and just it's inferred out of the fact that these people have made one phone call and it got rerouted through Saudi Arabia or something.
Let me just tell you though, I'm gonna read some more of this article. They want to change the law because technologies like these were not available when FISA was passed nearly 30 years ago, and FISA has not kept up with the new technological developments, meaning that cell phones and who knows what all, apparently, of course, they can do a lot of that, but the deal is that the terrorists are using all the new technologies and FISA isn't, so we need to expand our ability to spy on people. As a result, our nation is hampered in its ability to gain vital intelligence. We need to keep the American people safe, and isn't that what it's all about? Bush urged lawmakers to work in a bipartisan. Our national security depends on it, he says. Now, this is what
I'm surprised
I like.
President didn't say children.
Don't let me just see here. As a matter of fact, he might. I don't know. The Pfizer reform proposed by the White House in April would loosen restrictions on tapping into emails, phone calls, and other communications. Think what that is. That's like everything. That's right here. Inside the country, and possibly allow the U.S. to freely tap into international communications routed through the United States. And in addition to that, it will protect the telecommunications companies who protect, who cooperate in the effort, which means, of course, that it will penalize those who don't. The point is that what they're going to do is they want to, if you read, if let me translate this for you. Every piece of communication yeah, between anybody exactly. is now subject to search, and if anybody turns you in, they're immune.
Right.
We're creating a new perfect society in which the mistakes of the past will be eliminated.
That is so cool.
I'm surprised you didn't say executed.
But, you don't need to know much. But Congress has resisted the reform while demanding more information on the government's electronic spying efforts since 2001. Which the White House and Gonzalez have insisted were legal, but others say broke the law. Well,
and of course, they never turned over their records of search or anything.
Right.
They claimed immunity when everybody sought the records.
Right. Well, it says here this week, Gonzalez and FBI Director Robert Mueller apparently offered contradictory testimony in a 2004 Justice Department dispute over the program's legality, sparking accusations that Gonzalez lied. Well, whoa, hold it. Stop the presses. So Mueller and Gonzalez didn't agree, and this sparks the fact that we're after Gonzalez. He lied, not Mueller. I mean, I'm sitting there thinking, wait a minute, why didn't they haul Mueller up there? Well, because they're after.
See, that's all political. I mean, when they don't agree, I mean, that means like one of them used an and the other one used an or.
No, I know. Well, no, that could. But even if it was totally contradictory, like, so what?
Right.
I mean, what I'm saying is this article says that if it was contradictory, if they said the opposite things, then we're hauling Gonzalez up there because he's the one obviously that lied. Well, okay, then why haul him up there if you know he lied? You know, take yeah. Mueller's just shoot him. Take Mueller's testimony and go with it. Anything else you got on that?
Well, I just want to say that if you don't know already, the FISA courts allow for wiretapping prior to a warrant being issued, and they get a couple of weeks of wiretapping before it has to go in front of the court, and it's so easy to get these warrants.
It's like I said, as they say, which ham sandwich did you indict today?
Right. Well, you know, it's ordering fries at McDonald's.
Yeah, that's right.
You're going to get the fries.
You're going to get that's right. That's it.
Fries.
You're going to get fries with that, whether you like it or not. That's right.
Okay.
No, I thought that was so. Anyway, that's the noose is tightening. Next, I've got a couple of things here that are interesting. The judge voids, this is another thing, judge voids the ordinance on illegal immigrants. Did you see that?
This is one back in the right direction, if you ask me.
Right. Well, it's Judge Munley ruled that ordinance passed the first line Hazleton. Now, Hazleton was the first city up in Pennsylvania, was the first city that said to throw landlords in jail, fine them, whatever it is, if you rent to an illegal immigrant.
Right.
And, of course, the problem has always been, what is due diligence? You know, how much do you have to go through to convince yourself? I mean, there's a lot of people that show up there that are totally legal that can't speak English. So what do? I mean,
well, you check their ID and it's fake anyway, and you don't catch it and you go to jail.
So anyway, the mayor, Louis J. Barletta from Sicily, vowed to make the city one of the toughest places in the United States.
Check his papers.
Yeah. That's right. For illegal immigrants, we don't want them here. Hey, moron.
We're full. No more room.
No, I'm Sicilian. Hey, I got my nose bent here. So anyway, but I love this. What are the frustrations the city of Hazleton may feel about the current state of immigration enforcement? Judge Munley wrote in a 206-page decision.
Yeah, I noticed. He laid
it
out there, boy.
206 pages. I mean, I'm thinking, what is it? Not that, Matt, not
those
that,
are
not that I'm going to read it, but you're the attorney. Why don't you go ahead and read this for
me? I was going to, except that I got the hint, the tip-off this morning.
The tip-off.
And I didn't have enough time to peruse the 206 pages today. But they said they gave a couple of clues in the little snippet that they did.
Right.
And that was that. One, it conflicted with the federal statutory scheme.
Right.
Which basically says that you can't do this because we're already doing it at a different level.
Right.
And that happens a lot.
Right.
The feds always step in and say that kind of stuff when they think the states or cities are tromping on their ground.
Oh, yeah. No question about it. And yeah, we're the feds. We're taking over now.
Right. And the second thing was the more obvious one, which is the due process of the people who are the renters and the employer. These are people who should be allowed to rent their spaces out and should be allowed to hire who they want to work for them.
Right.
And when you hack them off like this, saying it's illegal, it gives them no due process. It gives them, it automatically takes away some of their property.
Right.
And
property rights are paramount in this country. They should be, and they're not anymore, but you're right. I mean, the civil, and even as I say, if you do the due diligence thing, you still could get caught up in the net.
Yeah.
If somebody else comes in there and says, I don't, you know, they do some further indication to find out the guy's illegal, and you say, but I, you know, I looked at his ID, I'm sorry, we're going to jail anyway. You didn't look hard enough.
Right.
So they were going to impose fine on landlords who rented to illegal immigrants, and he said Mr. Barletta, the Hazleton mayor, had championed the city's ordinance because he said illegal immigrants had unleashed a crime wave in Hazleton and this is where it really comes down, overburdened health and other public services. At the 9-day trial in March, the ACLU lawyers worked as hard to debunk these claims as they did to undercut the city's legal arguments. They showed that four out of 428 violent crimes in Hazleton in the last 6 years could be attributed to illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
So there's the unleashed a crime wave.
And I've seen this. There's so many internet things going around that says like 90% of all violent crimes are created by illegal immigrants and all this stuff.
You know, 90, and a lot of the automobile accidents also.
Right,
I mean,
right.
Illegal immigrants, but worse than DUI anymore.
No, I've seen just a list of stuff. And the funny thing, I've seen the same list come back with improved numbers. You know, they keep increasing the numbers on the same list.
Yeah.
No, nothing to back it up.
Well, look, what's happening here is that these programs are starting to fail because they suck, and they're blaming it on the immigrants. The percentage of people of immigrants in the country is still small, even illegal ones.
Right. No, even their expanded, horrible, big number, 15 million, well, with 280 million people, I got a newsflash, it's less than 5%.
Right.
You know, I mean, if all of them, I mean, it's nothing. I mean, I know it's if you
in 96% of you, can't
I realize
get along,
that if you happen
you got
to be
a problem,
in,
and 4% of you are causing an issue.
Right. I realize that if you're in San Diego or someplace like that, you're probably ready to throw your iPod out the window, listening to Jimmy Doan say, "Well, 58% here, by God, nobody," and maybe in Miami or something like that as well.
Yeah, and they are clogging the emergency rooms and places like that.
But that's the problem. That's a federal problem also. That is at the root of any problem you will find originally. A federal solution that was to a problem earlier that created this problem, and now what they want to do is have a new solution that will create another. It's ongoing. The simple fact is, why is it a federal law that anybody who needs emergency service, that they can arrest the hospital and burn it to the ground, send a SWAT team over there if the emergency room in any hospital turns away anybody that walks in and says, "I got an emergency"? That's a federal law. Well, I'm sorry, that's one of the reasons they're closing emergency rooms is because they can't stand the money drain on it, and that federal law should never have been there in the first place. So it's stupid. I don't know why the feds take over, you know, like they're going to take over the what is it we talked about earlier here? They're going to take over the spanking of kids or something. I don't know. They have butt slappers. Who knows? Okay. Anyway, and Mr. Barletta, in his campaign against illegal immigrants, have remained popular in Hazleton, a faded coal mining center. In Northwest Philadelphia, that has recently seen manufacturing revival. So apparently, a lot of the workers are in there in the manufacturing industry, and he wants to kick them out. Okay, fine. God love you. Next, the other thing I want to talk about was the $20 billion arms sale to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I thought this was interesting for a couple of reasons. Advanced weapons proposal for Arab country. Yes.
There we go.
That's exactly right. The United States and its Middle East allies are expected to raise the ante this week in intensifying confrontation with Iran. I mean, it's all about the war and everything. The Bush administration is expected to announce a controversial $20 billion arms sale over the next 10 years to Saudi Arabia and five other American allies in the Persian Gulf, Bahrain, Kuwait, Oman, Qatar, and the UAE, United Arab Emirates. Well, I thought this was interesting.
Well, they've shot all their weapons off at us, and they need to get more.
Well, the whole point is, you know, you never learn. And the simple
they've
fact
given
is,
them all to Hezbollah. Right. And all of the, okay.
They sold them all to Hezbollah. Yeah. And then, yeah.
Well, I mean, what's so crazy about this is you're selling these really neat weapons to dictator, genocidal dictator people.
But we can't have them.
But Jimmy can't buy one. Right. I mean, what the hell is this? My United States government sells the neat weapons that I would love to have.
Right. Here's a stinger, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a nice shot.
But I mean, the whole thing is, what do you think? What do you think? $20 billion worth of stuff. I mean, that's a chunk of change. That'll buy you some decent stuff. What do you think they're going to do?
3 days worth of oil for the Saudis.
Well, it might be, but I'm saying that this is the way we're getting some of the money back. But I mean, this is what a waste this is. It seems to me. You know, what are you going to end up doing with it? And the other thing is, we sent all that money, first of all, to Afghanistan to beat the Russians, and that got turned against us. And then we propped up Saddam Hussein for I don't know how long, and that burned us.
Wait, now, are we giving the money away, or is it we selling it to them?
Well, we're selling it, but still.
That's just private arms sales then, right, or what?
Except it's the government doing it. So it's government private, whatever it is. I mean,
wait a minute, it's a government private.
Yeah.
Well, like, I mean, if it's Boeing and Lockheed.
Well, let me tell you, it's all of those people and Colt and everybody else. Don't get me wrong. But I love this, of course. They're worried that they're selling all these arms to Saudis and other Arab type people that, gosh, it might unstable the Israelis there. So what they've decided to do. There's the worry.
Sell $20 billion to the Israelis.
No, $30 billion.
$30 billion. They're going to be the better one.
$30 billion. So to counter any threat from the Saudis, the United States would deliver an even larger arms package to Israel worth $30 billion.
Exactly. There you go. No. They're going to actually.
I mean, this is unbelievable. My mother used to say, let's you and him fight. I
wonder if we bought the rights to the TV show for the war.
Oh my God, you could just, I mean, just funny detail. Let's see, I'm just trying to say here, the majority administration, I'm just trying to think, Saudi Arabia has not been, some complainers about this, you know, people on the other side, Saudi Arabia has not been a true ally in furthering United States interests in the Middle East, Wiener said, just this week. This guy's name is Wiener. I don't know what his name is. Representative Anthony Wiener, Democrat from New York.
This man has.
And Representative Robert Wexler from Florida. Saudi Arabia has not been a true ally in furthering the United States' interest in the Middle East, Wiener said. Just this week, Brigadier General Kevin Bergner, a top American military spokesman in Iraq, detailed an account of Saudi Arabian smuggled into Iraq to be a suicide bomber. This is this anecdotal, right? American officials in Iraq say the majority of suicide bombers in Iraq are from Saudi Arabia, and that about 40% of all foreign fighters are Saudi. 70% of the most wanted international terrorists are Saudi Arabians. So, and the administration, of course, says we find little evidence of that. Don't believe it. None. Zero.
Kimmer!
So, I mean, this is great when you can make money, I guess, and send all your weapons. $20 billion to the Arabs, and then $30 billion to the Israelis.
Well, that extra $10 billion to the Israelis, that's going to be the firing pins
to the Hebes
that we don't give to the Saudis.
The firing pins. But we left off the wheels on your vehicles.
Yeah, that's
well. Now we just have a little switch. We have a little radio RF thing. We can just push it and blow them all up. Yeah,
and that's a great idea.
Well, that's just one button. We sell that to the Israelis for $30 billion.
Right.
Just one button.
Oh, I'm sorry. You want the on switch?
Yeah.
I don't know. We got the off switch, but you want the
we sold the on switch to your competitors.
So that's separate.
Yeah. Totally.
You know, I thought about that many times. That in order to stop the war would be to put a pretty good sized H bomb underneath like Israel. And another pretty good sized H bomb under Baghdad, and have the buttons on the other, you know, reversed.
Yeah. Right.
And see.
Well, I don't think that would stop the war.
No, it would
on.
Let me put it this way: it would either stop it or it would stop it.
Yeah.
Timing is everything.
Yeah. Timing is everything, right?
All right. Do you want to take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break.
Okay.
We're going to talk about the sex. We're going to talk about the man in the kilt sex thing.
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you for listening to part two of the July 2007 Jimmy Dunn podcast.
Angels gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction. In the fields of bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, larger!
Send your emails to Jimmy at jimmydone.com.
Now in darkness, world stops turning. Ashes where the body's burning. No more war pigs have the power. Struck the hour. Day of judgment, God is calling. On the knees, the war pigs crawling. Begging mercies for the sins. Satan laughing spreads his wings. Oh, Lord, yeah. We'll be right back.